This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're going to have a fun show today. I can tell you that right now because I've got some of my, the people that have gotten me in trouble over the years are going to be on the show today. So starting with BJ Colleen, yes, we've gotten in a lot of trouble together, but mostly me. And then, of course, Ed Justice Jr. At one point, when I was with Motor Trend, Ed said something that was so offensive to Motor Trend that I think lawyers got involved. And then, of course, Brian Moody's going to be on, who's always fun, from Auto Trader. But we have a lot of fun stuff, a lot of fun stuff to talk about, interesting stuff. If you're into cars, if you want to buy a car, if you want to sell a car, and even if you want to sell a car, we've got a new sponsor. You guys really should know about this, Auto Tempest. All the cars, one search. So find out what your car is worth by searching all the big sites. I'm talking about all of them at once. Autotempest.com. Check it out. All the cars, one search. Okay, BJ Colleen, speaking of all the cars, weren't you going to talk about, I think you were going to talk about car names. Was that you?
Yeah. And don't let me forget, I want to say something about Ed Justice coming up next. One of my favorite people in the world. He's just awesome. But I want to discuss car names because I think it's been a while since we've done it. But part of it is because the Jeep name, the Jeep Cherokee, I think you've heard that the Cherokee people, the Cherokee tribes are offended by the Cherokee name.
I know.
And they're not quite demanding Stellantis do something about it. But the head of Jeep just said that he is open to dropping the Cherokee name.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, he didn't say for sure. God. He said, at this stage, I don't know if there's a real problem, but there is one. Well, of course, we'll solve it. That's what he said. He never said, well, we're going to do it. But he said, we're ready to go to any point up to where we decide with the appropriate people and with no intermediaries. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I mean, again, it's this whole woke culture. If you lose the Cherokee name, you're losing how many decades of brand identity and awareness? So it's going to be interesting because you've not only got the Cherokee, but you've got the Grand Cherokee. And, you know, there's a lot of history and a lot of brand built into that name. So
I don't know. Yeah. It's just we'll to see me, what happens. This is just a really sad scenario of cancel culture. Because what are they going to do? Poor old Dr. Seuss. You know, he's rolling over in his grave right now. Honest to God.
I know. His daughter even said he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. But people have to fabricate things in order for them to get publicity. And it's really, really sad.
It is.
But something else that brought on the name change discussion or the name discussion is that, you know, Kia has been renaming their vehicles. Not only did they get a new logo, which is absolutely hideous, and you can't understand what it says.
Oh, I don't know that it's hideous, but I mean, here's the thing.
Look at it.
I know, and here's what happens. I forgot that they did that, and then I saw it, and I went, "All right, it's like anything." Listen, we are such hardcore enthusiasts that we the automotive journalists, and we the folks that are involved with this radio show. We get so a knee-jerk reaction like, oh, my God, look at that, horrible. And everybody else is like, I don't even see any difference. But it's because we're looking at it through our 8-pound eyeballs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But it's hard to read. It really is. When you look at it on the car or you look at it on the steering wheel, it's really hard to read. So that's, you know, I don't fault Kia for anything because I think they make fabulous vehicles. I really do. You know, I've owned a Kia and I think they're wonderful. But it's interesting because they're in the process of changing over their vehicle names and the Optima's gone, now the K5. Well, you know, the Sedona that we've owned for, 6 years now, they changed the name to the Kia Carnival. So
No, don't tell me that. Are you serious? Yep. I thought it was a whole new vehicle. Oh, wait a minute. So there's no Sedona minivan anymore is what you're saying.
Right. It's been renamed the Carnival. And I sent in a request to ask exactly why, and I haven't heard back from Kia. But apparently Carnival is what they call the minivan all around the globe. So it might have something to do with saving some money with new names and things like that. I mean, it's a very nice looking vehicle. You know, it's a little bit more SUV-ish looking than minivan, but it does have all the minivan capabilities.
Right.
I just think that minivan name is just getting a bad connotation, which is stupid because minivans are great. So
minivans are great. All right, again, hold tight. That's bizarre. And by the way, they're calling it an MPV, All right, never mind. I'm not going to tell you what it means because I can't say it. Minivan is much easier than multi-purpose vehicle. We'll take a break. MPV, multi-purpose vehicle. Oh my gosh. We'll be right back.
The song came and went like the times that we spent hiding.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Again, if you're searching for cars with funny names, there's one place you should go that's real simple. All the cars, one search, autotempest.com on the web. BJ Colini's here. We're talking about car names. You know, in the commercial break, we chit-chat a little bit. And BJ Colleen was talking about this car company, Genesis. And they spend so much money, all these car companies, trying to get brand awareness. And then Tiger Woods, whatever happened, flipped a few times and down the hill he went. And they probably got more value and name brand recognition because of an accident with a celebrity in it than they could if they would have bought it. Now, the question is, did the car save his life? I have to think it probably did. Can you imagine what some of the old junkers from classic cars would have looked like after it gone through what that car just went through? And it actually came out, considering what happened to it, the glass sunroof was still on it, intact. I think it endoed end over end. But who knows? I mean, until they give you the whole spiel about what happened. But at least Tiger's going to be okay, so that's good. Anyway.
Yeah, that's important.
All right, so funny names of cars.
Okay, so talking about cars, and not necessarily how they name it, but they don't take into consideration what it might mean in another language. For example, and you're going to love this one. You know, Audi sells their plug-in hybrids as the e-tron label, right? You've heard them talk about e-tron.
Sure, yeah.
Unfortunately, it sounds a lot similar to the French word e-tron, which means a pile of you-know-what.
No! So
that's what it means. Kind of sounds like in French, so nobody bought it because it sounds like you're driving a pile of you-know-what.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
I know.
That is so bizarre. I remember, isn't it Nova means like Nova, no go, right?
No go, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, who is responsible for checking these things? You know,
I don't know. Nobody does. But my another favorite one I came across is a Ford Kuga was an SUV in Europe. Unfortunately, in Slovenia, Kuga stands for Black Death. So
my God.
I'm driving. I'm driving around the Black Death. I love
it. Oh, dear
so
me.
You think
right?
about things like that. No, it's hysterical. But the Volkswagen Jetta, much loved vehicle in America. We love it, but not in Italy because Jetta sounds similar to the Italian word aeta, which means losing streak or streak of bad luck. Like, okay, it's another reason. So, you know, it just cracks me up that the manufacturers don't think about what the name means in other countries. And if you're only selling it in America, that's fine. But you have to start thinking about where else you're going to sell it.
Right.
For example, the Honda Fit, you all know the Honda Fit. It was Honda's small little car. They finally let it go. Did very well in China, Japan, America. At least they thought about it. But in Europe, they called it the Jazz because They really wanted to call it the FITA, but they couldn't call it that because they found out that's a rude expression for female genitalia in Scandinavian languages.
No way! Oh, my gosh.
At least they caught that. And, you know, Fiat, the Uno, we all know the little tiny Uno. It's not sold here. It's very popular in Europe. But in Finnish, Uno means fool. So, hey, what are you driving? I'm driving a fool.
Well, that's if there's a fool sitting in the passenger seat, right? Hey, well, pity the fool.
Or the driver's seat. Yeah, well. We mostly know. So I know it's just incredible. I know some of the names. So we were just cracking up about, we were looking and doing some research into them and seeing, you know, and the Nova was definitely one of them. That's, I think, what started all this when people started calling it the Nova. The other one, though, it's not just limited to small cars. You think about the Silver Shadow. That's our Rolls Royce, right? And right. They originally intended to call it the Silver Mist, but in Germany, mist is a word for dirt or crap. So they couldn't name the Rolls Royce the Silver Crap because it just
Oh my gosh.
I know. That's what I was telling you when we were talking in the break. I said, if I had a car company, I would just name the car Sedan, Coupe, Minivan, and that would just be the name of it. So you you're not going to offend anybody, and that's just what it is all over the country. And, you know, what about the ones that people can't pronounce? Remember the Mitsubishi I-MEV or M-I-E-V, and right, stood for the Innovative Electric Vehicle? Right. Nobody could pronounce that.
No, what are you doing? I know, right. I found something. Let me see if I can play it. We'll take a commercial break here. I found something that is absolutely hilarious. I've been wanting to play it for a while. It goes along this same vein about remembering car names and funny car names. BJ Colleen is with me. This is The Drive all across America and around the nation because of our sponsors like the newest one, Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search. Check it out, Autotempest.com. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And BJ Colleen joining us, automotive journalist extraordinaire. And our sponsor, our newest one, is Autotempest.com. And if you're looking for a car with any name, whether it be funny or not, check it out. Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search. It searches everywhere. It's pretty cool. Saves a lot of time and energy. Okay, BJ, so here's the deal. We're talking about all these funny names and stuff. And just the other day on Facebook, one of our buddies, somebody, I can't remember who it was, posted this comedian. His name is Rex Havens. And he goes through, and this guy, I do not know how people can have a memory. This guy's memory of car names is amazing. Listen to this. Check it out.
Flew into Salt Lake City and drove down here. That on the highway, that's the most mysterious time for me. Trying to keep track of that world around you. How do you keep track of all those car names that are out there? Hundreds of different car names. How am I supposed to keep those all straight? Some cars don't have a name. All they've got is a number. That never made sense to me unless you're trying to get the biggest number. I'll give you an example. Mazda's got a 2. They got a 3. They got a 5. They got a 6. Oldsmobile had an 88 and a 98. Chrysler's got a 200 and a 300. Mazda had a 323. Ford had a 500. Mazda had a 626 and a 929. Pontiac had a 1000. Audi's got a 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Pontiac had a 6,000. Saab had a 9,000. Nissan just said, to heck with it. Now they make an Infiniti.
Right. I mean, okay, so hold on. Let me just stop right there. This guy is so good. I don't know how he could possibly remember all these names. But now in this next part, he goes on to talk about, you know, how some of the names in the manufacturers actually... There's more going on than just the name if you start sewing together some of the names. Check this out.
Chrysler Mitsubishi's little nuts. They got a Vision, an Eclipse, and a Mirage. A Vision, which is really something to look at. An Eclipse, that's something you shouldn't look at. Mirage, something you're not even really looking at. Is that your car? I think so, but I've been fooled before. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that. They have cars named for the heart of the big city all the way on out to the sticks. For the inner city, metro, a little further out, suburban, further out still, town car. One that can't decide, town and country. Further out, they got the villager. Beyond that, they got the forester. Beyond the forest, they got the frontier. Beyond the frontier, the Yukon, the Denali, the Tundra, and the Outback. And way the heck out there, Mercury and Saturn. Plymouth made a Reliant. I had one. They call it that because it made you reliant on public transportation, by golly. That was it. Can the cars do what their names sound like they can do? And if they can, I guess they can do a lot of different things. Get one that does what you need doing. If you're going someplace and there are no roads, get a Pathfinder or a Trailblazer. If nobody's ever been there before, you'll need a Discovery or an Explorer. If you're a little bit lonely, get yourself an Escort.
Yeah.
Or maybe an Amigo or a Sidekick. You know, shop around a little bit. Get the car based on the kind of trip you want to take. You want to take a short trip, get a Sprint. Get a longer trip, a journey. A hopeful trip, get a Quest. A long, hard trip, an expedition or an excursion. And if you want to stay away for years, get an Odyssey. Get the car based on how you're feeling. You know what I'm saying? Your mood at the time. If you want to be daring, get a Venture or an Intrepid. If you want to be a gentleman, get a Gallant. If you want to go overseas, pick up a Passport. If you can't concentrate, get a Focus! If you have a large, protruding navel, get an Audi. You know, come on. If you like to stay in shape, get a Fit. If you've sort of let it slide, get an Avalanche. If you got a score to settle, get an Avenger. If your batteries are low, pick up a Charger. And if you're in a horrible marriage, you might think about an Escape. So...
That guy's great. I mean, come on.
That's very funny. This is obviously a little old because some of these cars don't exist anymore, the names. But boy, he's very clever. There's no doubt about it. That's pretty funny.
And that is true because Plymouth is gone. Saturn is gone. I mean, a lot of those cars are gone. And a lot of those cars, you know, as the comedian was going through the names of all these cars, I thought to myself, how many people don't realize that those are all really cars? Every one of those silly names, which he made fun of them, but he did such a good job. And today, you know, we have other brands that are coming out that some other fun comedian will take and figure out a way to weave in cars like Tesla, of course, electricity and what have you, and all these other Rivian and God knows what. I mean, we're in such a fun industry. Even making fun of it is fun. And nobody's, I don't even think even the manufacturers wouldn't laugh at some. I heard you laughing at these things along the way. So I think it's just all in good
fun. They're very clever, very funny to sit there and have to think about that routine. And then, like you said, having to memorize it and things like that are just amazing.
Exactly. Well, coming up next, Ed Justice Jr. is going to talk about Tesla. And boy, I don't think he's a fan. I think he's just not a fanboy about the, I don't know if you heard about the J.D. Power and Associates ratings of their quality and stuff like that. It's disappointing, you know, to say the least.
And I agree, but people are drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what's interesting, though? You know, the new Ford Mustang Mach-E electric kind of SUV Mustang thing came out, and they're actually saying that Tesla's U.S. EV market fell down to 69% from 81%, and they're saying that those sales are going to the Ford Mach-E. So that's interesting that the main way manufacturers are actually moving in on Tesla's turf. And the fact that he's doing so poorly when it comes to quality and reliability, you and I have never been Tesla fans ever. So,
well,
I'm happy.
I think they're a neat machine, you know, but boy, there's just too much hype that worries me. All right, BJ, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Fun as always.
BJ Colleen. Coming up next, Ed Justice Jr. We're going to talk a little bit about Tesla. Be right back. Cruise
up and down this road. Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge Muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So I had Justice Jr. joining us right now, Justice Brothers, his company, America's brand for quality. And Ed used to be the host of Road and Track Magazine's radio show, while I was the host of Car and Driver's radio show. It was just this show that Ed and I used to do together, and then we split out and worked with the publishers and did two separate shows. And Ed won a fantastic award, of which I don't know how the heck that happened, but that's another story for another day. How you doing, Ed?
Boy, I'll tell you, a lot of love floating around here.
Won the Dean Bachelor's Award, of which I will forever be jealous, you rotten dog.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know what? That was a great, great surprise, to be quite honest. And it's gone downhill since then. But anyway.
Well, you know what? Listen, you can pick it up still, though, Ed. You can still improve on yourself. Don't worry about it. I'm behind you. 100% behind you all the way. No, you mean you're talking about the whole industry is actually. I think that's what you're talking about. Speaking of that, as a matter of fact, did you hear about the J.D. Power 2021 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study that came out? Brand ranking. Did you hear about kind of the whole thing with Tesla was way down at the bottom? Did you hear about that?
Well, you know, I was recently made aware of this, and I always get a big interest out of this because, you know, Tesla doesn't want to play ball with J.D. Power. And those of us who sort of follow Tesla could maybe guess as to reasons why. You know, Tesla just had a big recall on their screens, and it was revealed that they were not putting car-level resilient screens in the cars.
Oh, right.
Meaning the inside of a car, when you park it in certain climates, gets incredibly hot.
Oh, yeah.
And gets incredibly cold. I mean, you're not going to experience that with your laptop or any other device inside your home or apartment or wherever it is you might live. But you will in a car. And if you take a screen or that type of thing and take it from a home or a living environment and put it in a car, it just is not tested to that level. And apparently this is what was going on.
Well,
they find this part on the shelf, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. So this is where it gets interesting because, see, they aren't under the same criteria as the other manufacturers because they're kind of like this, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Out there.
Well, yeah, they won't allow J.D. Power to survey owners in 15 states.
I was going to say
where
that.
J.D. Power requires that. And Tesla's score is only calculated on the other 35 states.
Right. So let's do this.
Yeah, they're this outlier.
Watch this. That's a good word for it. So here's the brand ranking. Who would you guess went as number one out of all the manufacturers that are tested? Who do you think won this thing? And we'll start at the top, and then we'll kind of go to the bottom.
Well, traditionally, I mean, over the past several years, traditionally, both Porsche and Lexus have been near the top.
Well, there you go. Which is odd to me.
You know, they.
I'll tell you why. First of all, Porsche, I had no idea, was that well-received because, again, this is the voice of the consumer. These are people that have bought cars, and then they get in the mail this survey. How has your car been for the dependability, you know, and so on and so forth? And you mark it down. So this literally is the voice of the consumer. That's what J.D. Power does. So Lexus was number one. Porsche was number two. Amazingly, Kia was number three above Toyota. And then here's another. This is really kind of funny because the next two are General Motors. Buick and Cadillac were just barely beat out by Toyota and Kia. Hyundai is behind them. Genesis, which is also Hyundai. Lincoln behind that. Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Mitsubishi, Mazda. Industry average then, okay? So the industry average is 121 problems per 100 consumers, I guess. Or what is it? How do they figure that? What is the actual? I have to read.
Yeah, 121 problems per 100.
Okay. So all
those cars you just named are better than the industry average.
Better than the industry average, right? Which is 121. Right below the industry average is Mercedes-Benz, which is, they're eking their way up, believe it or not. And then Ram, Dodge, Mini, Subaru, Audi, Nissan. Way down toward the bottom is, oddly enough, the worst ranked for some reason, and they can't help themselves. I don't know why. Land Rover, way at the bottom, way, way, way down there. Like Alfa Romeo is 196, Land Rover 244. That's the spread between the worst and the next worst, okay?
You know, there was a time when Land Rover was not at the bottom.
When was
that? This is a great trivia question.
Okay, when was that?
Well, I can give you that answer along with if you guess what it was that took over that bottom position.
Oh, gosh. MG.
I know. Yeah, no, I know. It's a trick question, and it's not a fair question because it goes back a ways.
All right.
Yugo.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. That tells you how far it went back. Well, but here's the weird thing.
Yugo took the bottom position away from Land Rover at one point in time.
Yeah.
And which leads me to, you know, the guy walked into the auto parts store, and he said to the guy behind the counter, "Do you have a radiator cap for a Yugo?" And the guy behind the counter says, "No, but it sounds like a fair trade."
Right. You don't even see Yugos anymore. But
oh, I know. That's why. That's the only reason I can tell that joke.
Well,
you don't offend anybody.
Exactly. Okay, so you have the bottom three are Land Rover with the worst, then Alfa Romeo, then Jaguar. And then it would be technically right there would be Tesla, but they're not on there. And here's what it says. Tesla is not in the official list because J.D. Power wasn't able to survey owners in 15 states, like you said. It says Tesla receives a score of 176 problems per 100. The automaker is not officially ranked among other brands in the study because it doesn't meet the ranking criteria. So how do they, I don't know. I mean, look at the price of the daggone stock. How do they justify it? They're having so many problems that they're ranked at the bottom, yet the stock is through the moon. Of course, he has SpaceX, and that's where you'll find him next.
By not participating, that is definitely one way to game the system, isn't it?
Game the system, yes.
Look, Tesla has its issues. We'll get into consumers' reports in a minute. I want to bring that up but before that, do you realize that Tesla offers owners car insurance? As far as I know, they're the only car manufacturer that offers their own car insurance. Do you know why that is?
I'm sure you're going to have a great reason. I want to hear it.
Okay, if you go to insurance.com, you will find an article. So you don't think this is Ed Justice, in my opinion. You'll
right.
find an article that was posted back November 1st of last year that a Model 3 Tesla costs $2,233 a year for the average driver, which is a bit pricier than the average cost to insure other common types of vehicles.
Yeah.
The insurance on Tesla costs more.
Wow.
It's something that nobody really thinks about or realizes, and it's a sort of a hidden thing.
Right.
You know, because most people, when you go to buy a car, unfortunately, most people don't consider what is the insurance going to cost for this car. They buy what they like, and then they find out, the bad news later.
Yeah.
And I found out years ago that one brand of a small displacement engine, let's say like a four-cylinder engine, but it was a turbo, cost more than another brand that had a big V8 with more horsepower, because that turbo designation caused a red flag, like four-wheel drive and other things on insurance.
Well, there's a lot of red flags for me with this particular brand, and that doesn't mean it's bad and it's evil, but there's just cautionary notes to me. That's the way I'll say it. Let me take a break. We'll come back, continue this conversation. Interesting stuff. Tesla ranked 31st out of 33 cars on the dependability study. J.D. Power & Associates, the voice of you. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink Multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine and 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models. Well, Ed Justice Jr. is sitting, well, not right next to me, but it sounds like it because we're on the radio. Thanks for being with us, Ed. And you can find more about Ed and his company, his family, their awesome book, Legacy of Justice, that he and Tom Madigan wrote together, a coffee table book about motorsports, at justicebrothers.com. Justicebrothers.com, America's brand for quality. Ed, you were going to talk about Consumer Reports. You know, you and I both got in trouble one time together because we talked about it. And, you know, it's not fashionable to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when you have a job working with magazines and what have you. Because every so often you get slapped down. And Tesla was the darling of, you know, some of the magazines. And you and I were, I mean, and another guy who was on the other, who was on the phone with us, by the way, that was talking about it? There was one other guy.
Josh Hancock.
Oh, Josh. Of course.
Our good friend Josh Hancock.
Of course. You two troublemakers got me in trouble, but it's worth bringing back around, even though I think there was even lawyers involved at that point. But let's talk about this for a moment. Consumer Reports did something that was, should we say a little bit unorthodox, ethical, orthodox, something looked kind of like, I don't know how to put a word on it. What would you call it, by the way?
Okay, so framing this in the what we just talked about before the break, that they're fourth from the bottom in the J.D. Power ranking.
Yep.
Okay, Consumers Reports is a magazine that takes no advertising. They're not influenced by anything. And that's what they say, okay, and that's the official party line. They feel they're not beholden to anybody, okay? But back in 2015, they gave the Tesla Model S a score of 103 out of a maximum 100 points. So they were saying that that Model S in 2015 was better than a perfect car. It wasn't a perfect car. It was better than a perfect car.
We couldn't help but bring this up. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, at that time, I said, there has never been a perfect car ever built, nor will there ever be a perfect car ever built. Like, there's never a perfect of anything.
Right.
There's always room for improvement.
Right.
That's what progress is about.
That's right.
We always figure out a way to make something better. Okay. And with the exception of a few things, maybe like a pencil, but then again, people might say, well, a mechanical pencil's better. And so whatever. So, yeah, they said, now they later retracted that. And but they have for several years, and this is at Electric. This was an article that came out at electric.com. That's TREK, February 18th of this year. and they mentioned that that Tesla's biggest strength in these rankings is that they were topping Consumers Reports list, as it has done consistently for several years. Now, I ask you, as a consumer myself, how can they top the Consumer Report list several years, but yet they're near the virtual bottom of the J.D. Power list when they talk to the customer?
Well, let me ask you.
Now, that is a disconnect like no other, in my opinion.
Absolutely agree, as well as why would you give anything more than a perfect score? That is ludicrous. I honest to God, 103 out of 100? It's a car. It's a mechanical thing. It's insanity. And I think that was, they jumped the shark right there. If you know what that means. We'll take a little break, come back, talk more with Ed Justice. Don't go anywhere. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, speaking of, J.D. Power and Associates and all that, the 2021 Hellcat Durango. Catch it while you can. Dodge has officially opened up orders. Nope, sorry, they already sold them. That's how fast they sold out. But the most powerful SUV ever, Dodge Durango and SRT Hellcat, is exclusive for 2021. And Ed, we should talk about that. 710 horsepower. They sold those things out immediately. And everybody's zigging and Dodge is zagging. They also had very high J.D. Power and Associates rankings for Dodge, the brand. But it's funny because all of a sudden, everybody is making electric everything. And people are standing in line to get these 750 horsepower, you know, a Ford with their new Raptor, because, you know, Dodge put that Hellcat engine also in the TRX truck, 702 horsepower. And now Ford is going to come out with another V8 powered, the Mustang, 760 horsepower. I think they'll probably, you know, either make it more or less than that, so it's not the same as Mustang Shelby. And it's going to be a $100,000 truck. So wait a minute. Who's smarter here? The guys that are all changing their industry into electric cars, like Cadillac and many of these companies, you know, Jaguar says they're going to be all electric, or the guys that are taking some of this old iron. I mean, now think about this. This is a Ram truck. They're making trucks like crazy. Trucks, you know, it's like, and they put a big old fat V8 in there. Bam! They sold them all in like 5 minutes flat. They put the big V8 engine with 700 horsepower in their SUV. Bam! They sell them all in 5 minutes flat. They make a Demon, 840 horsepower. Bam! Sell them in 5 minutes flat. It's like, who's smarter? Doesn't the customer at some point kind of dictate what you should be making a bunch of? And the customers are not buying these electric cars the way they're buying these things that they really want, which is fun, horsepower, nostalgia, classic. There's some collectability to it. There's no collectability to these electric things. They're just, they're fashionable. They're just fashionable, Ed. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I follow all the auto industry like you really closely, okay? And you mentioned people are not buying these electric cars. Globally, electric cars only sell when the customer, potential customer, is given thousands of dollars of government money as an incentive. The minute any country, not just the U.S., but China, Europe, the European area, Germany, etc., they eliminate that free money to induce you to buy a product that you're really not engaged in, emotionally engaged in. But, well, if you give me money, okay, all right, I'll take the thing. They don't sell. And so for Jaguar and or Cadillac, both to put their entire future on a 100% electric fleet of vehicles, to me, spells the end of both of those cars. I think it's the death knell for Jaguar. Mm. My opinion, wow. I'm entitled to it.
No, I get it. And I own a Jaguar. I own one, and it's twinned to the one you used to own.
Yeah,
I know. When you had that white one, I wanted that white one so bad. I went and found one just like it, just so you know.
My family's owned a bunch of Cadillacs over the years. Yep. Okay, I grew up with riding in my mom's Cadillac. That was a big aspirational thing for my mom and dad
to be able to finally work hard. I think you just said big ass aspirational. I think you did.
Yeah, but anyway, to buy that Cadillac. Cadillac, look, at when it is showing up on this reliability ranking, the J.D. Power reliability ranking at what?
100.
1, 2, 3, yep. 4, 5. It's in sixth place.
Right.
Out of what, like 30 cars? Sixth place?
33, yeah.
That's really good.
Right.
I mean, it's light years ahead of Mercedes.
Yeah.
Way ahead of Acura, BMW, Genesis, Lincoln.
I know.
And Cadillac is not touting that from the rooftops and advertising.
You don't hear it at all.
Touting
yeah.
is we're going 100% electric. You have to question the decision.
Yep. I agree with you. I still think that this whole electric car thing is, it's getting out of control, if you want to know the truth. There'll be a time when it, I guess it equalizes somehow. But right now, this electric car thing, everybody's like, green, 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 green vehicles. And Tesla himself, Elon Musk himself, I should say, and Toyota agreed with him. There's not enough electricity right now to make all these electric cars. Ed Justice Jr., thank you, sir. We're out of time for this hour. Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. JusticeBrothers.com on the web. I'm Alan Taylor and Ed Justice. I'll be back for another hour right after this news break. Stay with us. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, here we are, hour two, and it is time for us to go all the way to the Eastern Seaboard. Somewhere near Boston, we find George Kennedy hanging out next to a bar that is not allowed to open, waiting to get a beer. How you doing, George?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Are you guys open there yet?
You know, slowly but surely, capacity for different establishments is going up.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of a slow, methodical march towards normality.
What about salons and stuff? You had those dreadlocks cut yet? Or are you still wearing them?
Yeah, no, I went back down to short hair.
Okay.
My friend's wife actually runs a salon, and she does things very above board with like check-ins, does a little survey beforehand.
Oh,
she even has a little temperature gun that she checks your forehead before you come in.
Oh, man.
So,
it's a good thing you don't have like a probe in the seat when you sit down to get your hair cut. Oh, no, your temperature's going up. Sorry, out of here. Anyway,
doctor's orders, right?
That's right. George Kennedy, by the way, he is co-founder of Cartender. He also is automotive journalist, freelance for Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report, and a contributor to The Drive right here. So, George, by the way, everybody, I talked to him just really quickly as we hook up in the beginning here, and I'm like, what have you been doing? He goes, I was down in Aruba, and I'm like, Aruba? Wait a minute. So, first of all, I've never been to Aruba. What is Aruba like, and where is it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like kind of off the coast of Venezuela. It's very like arid desert. island kind of deal, but it's still humid. It's like constant, like 25 mile an hour winds. Really beautiful place. So the water was unreal. And we got to toy around in some 4x4s.
Oh, nice. So you went down there and just took a week off. Nice.
Well, it was kind of like it was a working week.
You know, wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. I'm thinking Ted Cruz got in pretty big trouble for taking his family to Cancun.
I don't hold public office, so I can go down and do that guilt-free.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what the actual... Anyway, that's funny. All right. So you were in Aruba, and he comes back, and he jumps in a Lincoln Corsair. Now, here recently, over the last year, by the way, we've been trying to buy my wife a new vehicle because now we have a couple grandkids. And actually, the third one was born on, Thanksgiving. Goodness gracious. So I have kids. I have so many kids and grandkids now. My oldest son was born on Valentine's Day, which we just did here a couple weeks back. And now I have a grandchild born on Thanksgiving Day. So now my wife has been driving this Fiat 500, little Abarth, really fun little car, white with the red leather interior, zippy little thing. We still have it. And she's like, you know what? I really need to get a little SUV. So we started looking. We really, like everybody else, really loved the Kia Telluride. Could not find the actual, you know, the configuration. I guess that's the way to say it. She wanted white. She wanted SX with the light gray leather with the moonroof. Could not find that anywhere for less than $10,000 over window sticker, right? Oof. So we're like, not ready to pay $10,000 over window sticker. Don't even really want to pay window sticker, right? So right. We kept looking and looking and looking. And man, I tell you what, my wife, God bless her, you know, married to an automotive journalist, you can imagine, we drive a lot of cars. And this woman, I didn't think she was that picky. I'd buy her anything. She'd go, thank you. And this time she decided to become very, very picky. And we ended up with a Nissan Rogue. Now, Funny, we live on River Road on the Rogue River. Okay. So now we live on the Rogue River. We live on River Road and we own a Rogue. So that's where we live in Southern Oregon, everybody. Just so you know, Oregon's beautiful. The governor here is a complete nutcase, but that's, you know, unless you like taking heroin and smoking pot while you're doing your job. But we're going to come back and talk about what you drove, which was the Lincoln Corsair. One of the vehicles top the list, just so you know. But by God, they want a lot of money for those things. Anyway, we'll talk more on the other side. You can find George Kennedy all over the place, but you might want to check out Car Gurus, Boston Globe, Boston Cars, U.S. News and World. I don't know. He's out there. We'll be right back. How come you never really seem to get through? Is it you? Talk about yourself again, you. Talk about yourself always, you.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. Thanks for listening. And George Kennedy III joining us right now. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. Subaru. George Kennedy, so again, back to the quest of finding my wife a car, and we finally did. But it was between, believe it or not, it came up to these last two where she really, really liked the Lincoln Corsair, which is the smallest SUV that Lincoln makes. Crossover vehicle, I guess you might say. Just a really nice car, but man, it was like $66,000. And of course, it was loaded, loaded, loaded. So tell me about the one you drove.
Yeah, sure. So sort of to set it up, I mean, we're talking compact luxury crossover. So that's like the same segment as like the Acura RDX. Right. So it's a pretty hotly contested segment. And for years prior, Lincoln had the MKC, which was it was all right. It was, the interior was just okay.
No, but we drove one. We drove the 2015. Pretty darn nice, I got to say. But you're right. When you, if you keep comparing these things to the next new model, they keep refining them and they do get better. But it was still pretty good. But the problem
was pretty good. But that, and that's the thing, is that this time around they stepped up. And
oh,
this
yeah.
thing is a legit competitor within this luxury compact segment. Right. And I appreciate too, they went away from the lettering thing, which even I think it was Ford's CEO back in the day screwed up the name of like two Lincolns in a press conference, like MKX, MKZ, MK whatever.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to real names.
Right.
This is something that I think Cadillac should take note on, because you can actually differentiate the vehicles based on the names.
Well, and what's old is new again, because they used to do that, and then they started giving them kind of the numerical things.
And Cadillac has great names to tap into, right? You know, El Dorado, you know, Brom, all that stuff. I mean, there's some really cool names to tap into for Cadillac. So I hope eventually they come around and do that. But the C in Corsair is a nod to MKC. You know, it's their compact crossover, but it really, it's a special feeling vehicle. I mean, you step in there and it has all the same level of sort of comfort and sense of occasion that you would get in the much larger Lincoln Navigator.
Right.
You know, right down to the piano button shifters and that touch screen that rises out of the dash. It's just all very, it feels very welcoming, very kind of surrounds you with comfort and luxury. And I was really impressed by it.
How much was the one you drove, and was it the fully loaded one?
Right. So you were talking about price and it being a little on the pricier side. I mean, it starts out at 35.
But that do you ever find one that cheap? Go ahead.
Yeah, we drove the reserve all-wheel drive. Okay. And so that comes in at closer to like 50, 55 and up.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting because when you look at other vehicles in the segment, you start adding options to those vehicles, and it you know, the base prices are higher than the Lincoln, but you know, when fully optioned out, they're not as high as the fully optioned out Lincoln in some cases.
Well, what's interesting is how they've started doing that. It used to be there was like, you know, we have three trim levels, the L, the LX, and the EX, if we're talking like, you know, Honda Accord or something. And then you had, you know, you got to choose. It was like 15 grand, 20, and then 25. And it was real easy. Not so much anymore. You can double the price of your vehicle.
I think it's a pendulum, though. You know, I think some years some automakers will say, here's our base price, and it comes with a ton of stuff. Other years, especially coming out of the Germans, here's the base price, and this is going to be an a la carte sushi menu in terms of adding bells and whistles, and just like a sushi menu, it's not going to be cheap.
Well, and the thing is that these Corsairs, Lincoln Corsair, such a nice vehicle that they only had one on the lot, and I think they had the additional dealer markup on it as well. So, I mean, you know, and that nobody likes to see that, you know.
Probably the same engine I had, which was the second one up, the 2.3 liter EcoBoost, which I absolutely loved. I mean, this thing was had a lot of power on tap, could get out of its own way. You know, I think that at any level, the American SUVs are going to drive a little bit different from the German or Japanese or British imports. There's a sense of like understanding that, you know, our roads are just covered in potholes, littered in potholes, and that, you know, as much as you want a vehicle to be dynamic and handle well, it also has to be able to handle our crumbling infrastructure, right?
Oh, well, you're saying that in Boston, and we know Detroit is like that. But where I am, believe it or not, the one thing I love about Oregon is the roads are wonderful. Now, again,
must be nuts.
You know, there's other drawbacks, but yeah, we have fantastic roads here. I love that about this state. My sister lives in Texas, and I went to visit her, and I'm driving like 85 because everybody else is going 85 and 90 on this one lane in each direction, right? And a bunch of the, you know, where the lines on the street are, it's like they're worn out. And the road has now got these giant divots in it. You hit one of those going 85 miles an hour, you just about go airborne. I told my I said, this is insanity. And she goes, I know. And it goes like that for thousands of miles. So, yeah, you know, it depends on what state you live in if you have good roads. Good roads just make life better. All right, we're going to take a break. Sounds like George likes the Corsair. I think everybody does. I have not heard anything negative. BJ Colleen, who was on in the first hour, she has one. Anyway, all right. So when we come back, and by the way, in the second half of the hour, we're going to talk about with Brian Moody, a friend of mine here, best all-wheel drive vehicles, I think, for under 20 grand. So if you can't afford a new one, here we go. We'll be right back.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6 inch touchscreen available on select models.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. You can find us at all the typical places for podcasts, but this is a radio show on about 100 radio stations. So I try not to talk about the podcast too much, but it's there. It's there, but we love our radio stations that take our show for almost 30 years. Imagine that. George Kennedy joining us. Can you imagine that, George? I've been talking on this microphone, almost the same microphone, for the last 30 years. I take it with me.
I believe you could.
Yeah, I know. I cut you off too much. Speaking of that, I'm not going to cut you off. All right. So the next car George drove is the Mercedes-Benz E-Class E53, which means there's an E63 and an E53. This is the inline six-cylinder version, and it's an AMG. So I'll shut up now and let you tell about it.
Yeah, so, you know, the E-Class is your, you know, midsize four-door sedan within the Mercedes lineup. And right, like everything in the Mercedes lineup, there's an AMG variant. And, you know, the AMG E-Class has been around for a long time. It's grown now to have multiple AMG levels. And sort of in the past where the number was tied to displacement, as we've gotten into turbocharging and mild hybrid units and stuff, that number has been disassociated from displacement. So this is, it's almost like a mid-tier performance car. The range-topping one is the E63. That's still a V8. This is now a twin-turbo inline-six with the EQ boost, which is their new take on the mild hybrid integration. So the result of all that is 429 horsepower, 384 pound-feet of torque, and it's a really quick car. It's 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds. It's not the sort of white-knuckle, stiff ride, suck you back into your seat experience of the E63, but it's definitely faster and more confident around corners and far more dynamic than the more comfort-oriented E350 and 450. So it's that nice blend between performance and dynamic driving experience.
Well, and the fact that it's an AMG means that the engine is built by one mechanic and he signs it. And are they still doing that?
That is a good question. I don't know if they're doing that for the inline six version. I think for the V8s, they're still, you know, giving it that one-to-one experience.
I think there's, if it says AMG on it, that's supposed to be, that's a good thing to look at. Matter of fact, next time you go out there, check and see if there's a little tag on it, because they make that guy responsible for that engine. And that engine, that's a beast of a little engine. Two turbochargers, they must be in line because it's an inline six-cylinder. So you have a small one and a large one. What do they call that, a sequential turbo?
Yeah, right? I forget if it's sequential or parallel. But like, yeah. What's cool is that the inline six has sort of been a part of Mercedes' past, and they went to the V6 for a while.
Right.
And I think a lot of people were pretty psyched at the fact that they're coming back to an inline six for a handful of their different model levels.
Trivia question. Do you know why people prefer an inline six over a V6? Do you know why?
Because it's half of a V12 and V12s are super smooth.
No, but you're right. The last part is correct. There is just nothing smoother than an inline six cylinder. They're just smooth as silk.
Yeah, my brother had a number of 90s and early 2000s 3 Series, all at the 335s. All of them had the inline six, and those things were butter.
Yeah, right. Butter. Oh, that's funny. If you think about it, you know, if you remember back to the story of when, who was it? Henry Ford wanted to have a V8 engine, and he said to his engineers, he said, I want a V8 engine. And they tried and tried and tried. And he goes back later on. He goes to his, how's it coming? And they're like, we just can't. It's not working. It's balancing and it shakes and rattles. And he says, you figure it out. And I'm giving you a real, you know, thumbnail sketch of this whole thing. But he goes back again a couple of weeks later and he goes, how's it going? They're like, we just can't. We can't do it. It's not going to work. He's like, you're going to figure it out. Because it's all about packaging, right? If you make a right. V, you can get much, you know, engines kind of smaller fits into the engine compartment easier. So anyway, he finally went back. I think it was like the third time. And I know the history buffs are going to go, oh, you did it all wrong. But you're going to get the point when I'm done. He goes back and he says, if you don't figure this out, the next set of engineers will. And so guess what? We have a V8. They obviously figured it out.
Right?
So, I mean, listen, that kind of stick-to-itiveness is what made the auto industry what it is today. And they continue to make refinements and make the vehicles better and better and better. But I wonder, though, and I just love to get your thoughts here in the last couple of minutes before Brian Moody comes on. What do you think about the electric vehicles? Have we gone to the point where cars were so amazing and the engineering is so amazing, we've engineered ourselves out of making, you know, these great internal combustion machines, and now they're like, oh, no, you got to use electric. But then all of a sudden here they start to talk about synthetic fuels. And, you know, I pray, I put my hands together in the prayer thing, like, please figure this one out, please.
Well, Mazda said for a number of times over the past, you know, 10 years that there's a lot more we can get out of the internal combustion engine. They're doing that that new engine that's supposed to sort of have the compression style of like a diesel. So you're going to have the power band of a gas, but the fuel efficiency of a diesel. You're going to have mild hybrid setups. I think plug-in hybrids, we just talked about the Corsair. They're coming out with a plug-in hybrid this year. Plug-in hybrids could be that sort of stopgap.
I love it. I think that's it, by the way.
Another thing, too, is that when it comes to performance cars, I love the sound and the smell of fuel and stuff, but like, if it moves me fast and sucks me into my seat, I kind of don't care what's powering it.
A guy said to me today, he goes, what do you think about Tesla? We talked about Tesla earlier today. I said, you know what? I said, it's like being kind of like deaf and not being able to hear, and you don't get to enjoy
much. But you can hear the brakes, you can hear the suspension components. Like my brother went to a Formula E race, and he's like, Dad, you can hear the brake squeal.
Yeah, that's not good enough. I want to hear that V8 engine, the music. How much was that Mercedes, by the way?
Yeah, sure. So the sticker price on that was 71, but with a whole host of options, 101 and change.
Ouch! George Kennedy, thank you, sir. Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. Thank you, George. Lord
have mercy. Take it easy.
We'll be right back with Brian Moody.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, joining us right now is my buddy Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com. Auto Trader, of course, you can search for cars and what have you, and but more than that, there's content available. What does that mean? Like,
sure.
Did you know? And Brian, I didn't know this. Brian just told me. But did you guys listening know that soon with the new 2020, is it the 2021 Jeep Wagoneer that we're talking about? Just before I get to
I think this is going to be a 2022.
Okay, 22. That in the Jeep 2022 Jeep Grand Wagoneer, you'll be able to get Amazon Fire TV. So this is a tech piece. What does that mean, and why do we care? I mean, don't we have the ability to have videos and things in the car? But I realize there's much more going on to this, and that's what you're about to tell me.
Yeah, remember how there used to be – I even remember when they used to have – they made a big deal about putting a VHS player in the third row.
Right.
And you would play that over the top, and like at the ceiling, a screen would flip down, and you could watch a whole movie –
right
in the car,
right?
Deluxe living.
right?
Deluxe
And that moved on to DVDs. And so a lot of times people have DVD players in the back seat. You have maybe two screens in the back of each headrest or something like that. Some minivans have, you know, for a while there was XM had a, right. Or Sirius had a thing that you could share in Chrysler's. So what this is kind of taking that to the next level. You don't really need to have a native system in the car. It's called Fire TV for Auto. And what that allows you to do is you can access shows, movies, and apps, even some vehicle features. And it will works like Amazon's other existing devices. So that means voice enabled by Alexa. In Jeep vehicles, it will communicate with the vehicle's infotainment system, which is called Uconnect. And then it will expand Alexa to help drivers stay focused while driving. And then the back seat. So you're not going to be able to watch a movie in the front seat. That's crazy.
Right.
But one of the things you can do is, so let's say that you have an Amazon account and you're watching a movie at home and, you know, you're going to get on the road or whatever. You take the kids with you. If you pause it, you can get in the car and you can pick up where you left off. And, you know, that's kind of cool. It's, I think it's mostly for families and mostly for people with kids.
Right.
But I guess if you were camping or something and you were parked out in the middle of nowhere, that might be a nice feature too.
So does it work with, I mean, and of course, obviously you're just, this is something that is like a news piece, but I'm wondering if it works with news and local television, or is it just movies from Amazon? Is, 'cause
well,
Amazon
it works
keeps
with whatever your Amazon account gives you access
gotcha,
to.
Gotcha,
so
gotcha,
if you
gotcha.
Can watch it on Amazon, you can watch it in the car. And in this case, it does actually, there is a screen up front where the driver can watch, but only when the vehicle's in park.
Gotcha.
So some cars do that. I think Tesla even does something like that. Like they have Netflix built into the Tesla screen, the touch screen.
Right.
So that's for you're parked someplace for a long time. Maybe you're waiting to pick up your kids. Maybe you're in a, I don't know, COVID vaccination line.
I was going to say.
Whatever you're going to do.
Right.
Whatever you're going to do, sit in the car for a long time.
Right.
And it even has a special remote that's part of the system. So here's why it's significant is because, yeah, it's a cool tech feature and most people, you know, may or may not be interested in. But what this does is it moves the heavy lifting of having the technology included in the Jeep Wagoneer off of Jeep and kind of offloads that onto Amazon so that, you know, increasingly what I see is the cars are going to come with screens, but the manufacturer is not going to have to manufacture or produce whatever comes up on that screen. So
right.
If you have a screen, what can you watch on that screen? Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, Fire TV,
right.
Or a DVD. Like that, there's no longer going to be a need for a native system that shows these kinds of things. It's all going to be – it's basically just a terminal.
Yeah.
A terminal and a screen – that allows you to show stuff from whatever your preference is. That's why it's
well. Great. I think, you know, gosh, this is probably a long time coming, but it seems like, I mean, look, when you go and buy a television, you don't expect the television manufacturer to supply you with the content. No, they're creating the device. And that's what you've got here now is that there's a screen and you can put on it whatever you see fit that is available more and more, like you said, Fire TV for Auto. So I was thinking,
and then Jeep didn't have to produce the voice either. So that's all included in Alexa. So Jeep didn't have to do all the R&D for
right,
voice controls.
Right. So they create a screen that'll accept whatever content flows into it. So this Amazon Fire for Auto. So this is probably
that's called Fire TV for Auto.
Okay. And probably a long time in the making with these relationships because this stuff doesn't happen overnight. Well, good. Good for Jeep for doing that. All right. So that's kind of the tech news piece for the show so far.
Pretty killer.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Let's stay with, and then because there's people, I can hear the collective soul of the people. Yeah, it's okay if you got $100,000 to spend on a brand new, you know, highfalutin SUV. But what if I only got $20,000 to spend and I still need to have all wheel drive? Well, Auto Trader's bringing to the table right now with Brian Moody, best used all-wheel drive vehicles under $20,000. See that? You guys heard in advance.
I would say, brother, you need to work harder.
Well,
no, I'm only kidding. Yeah. I'm only kidding.
Well, listen, that's what it takes if you want
also,
all the good things in life. Well, whatever. You know,
yeah.
I'm just thinking of, you know, how I used to do this voice on my show, by the way, 25 years ago. It was Trucker Bart. and I would call on my show, and this is giving away some of my fun stuff I did in my early years that gave me the artistic license to do the knucklehead stuff I do today. When I wouldn't get any calls, because me and another guy had a call-in show, like Click and Clack, where you would call up, and he was the mechanic, and I was just the car enthusiast guy. And a lot of times, the people would ask the questions, and Dave, my friend, would look at me, and I'd go, he'd kind of give me that, like, I don't know what the hell that is, because it's like some obscure thing. So I would start joking around and stuff, right? And then I'd say, all right, well, listen up. Dave's going to do a little research during the commercial break. Because at that time, we didn't even have computers, right? 25, 28 years ago, we didn't have computers to be able to, like, access it. I think that was right when AllData came out. Well, so he would have to look in his book. So then I'm trying to buy time for him because it was a live show. So I did this voice. It was Bart. Bart would call in. But if he calls in, if I would call in the switchboard on the phone that was in the office there, and then I'd hit the cough button or mute my mic, and it sounds different coming through. And I used to have conversations with myself, by the way. So what you just heard was the conversation with myself of, I only got 20 grand to spend here, Brian Moody. What do you got for me?
I'm picturing you had one of those, like, digital libraries where you could, you know, do...
I have one right here. I have that right here. We don't even use it anymore. Anyway, I have that noise. Give us the beginnings of it. We'll take a break and come back and finish. Best used all-wheel drive vehicles under 20 grand.
All-wheel drive cars under 20 grand. And these are in alphabetical order, so no one's better than they're just whatever you like. The Buick Enclave is on the list, the 2013 to 2017 Buick Enclave. It's a nice big three-row SUV.
Yeah.
Nice V6 engine, and you can get all-wheel drive. You can get one of those for under 20 grand. Wow. If you want a sedan, 2015 to 2019 Chrysler 300. Probably this is going to be the V6 version. So don't think that you're going to get an SRT or something like that for under 20 grand.
Yeah,
you
but you just said it though. Hold on. This is an all-wheel drive. And I don't think a lot of people even know that they make these things in all-wheel drive, the Chrysler 300, which they do. All right, hold tight.
Yeah.
Hold tight. That's a good place to take a break because otherwise, I don't know, I get run over by a commercial. It hurts, man. It's like, bam! See, I have my sound effects machine. I'd have a car crash sound. Oh, well. I got to plug that thing back in. We'll take a break. Brian Moody's with us. You can find out all this information AutoTrader.com. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, you're listening to The Drive, brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Thanks to Subaru for sponsoring the show. Brian Moody's joining us from Auto Trader, autotrader.com on the web. More than just, looking for new and used cars and lease deals, you can also find content there. We talked about some of the news, the new Jeep Wagoneer featuring Amazon Fire TV for Auto now using Alexa through the Uconnect system. And then now we're talking about, because Bart the truck driver,
Bart wanted to know what he could buy for under 20 grand if it was all-wheel drive. Back to you, Brian. Yeah, I get that voice from smoking a pack a day. You know that, don't you?
At least.
Right.
All right. All-wheel drive vehicles under 20 grand.
Under 20 grand. So we left off with the Chrysler 300. There's a lot of good sedans out there with all-wheel drive. So these are used. So look for a 2015 to 2019, and you should be able to find one for under 20 grand. Also a sedan, 2015 to 2019 Ford Fusion. I don't think this one gets as much attention as it should. The Ford Fusion is a really good sedan, and new, if you got like a top-of-the-line one with all-wheel drive, they could be pretty expensive. So finding a good all-wheel drive Fusion for less than 20 grand, that's a deal. Look for those, though, if you want an all-wheel drive sedan.
That's a good looking.
Then back to the SUVs, Honda CR-V. You can get those with available all-wheel drive that kind of adds to its spunky versatility. I just wanted to use the word spunky there.
All right.
And under 20 grand, Honda reliability. That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Jeep, the 2015 to 2018 Jeep Renegade. You should be able to find those on Auto Trader and other places for under 20 grand. And of course, you know, look for one that has all-wheel drive. If you spend most of your time on the road and you like the way, you know, you like to drive, check out the Mazda CX-5. We have it on our list of best all-wheel drive vehicles for under 20, and that's a 2017 to 2019 Mazda CX-5. You can get one with all-wheel drive, but those
really?
Actually handle really nice and have nice interior.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. I like those quite yeah. a bit. And you know what? Maybe this is a question to ask. I got to ask somebody from Mazda. These vehicles really do have still, in my mind, this thing that they planted like a splinter in my mind, zoom, zoom. They're very, I don't know, sport-oriented? I don't. They're just kind of, like my wife says, zippy, zoomy. I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
And they have nice handling, yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's something to think about, because if you look at the Jeep Renegade, maybe not so much zoom, zoom. Or the same with the CR-V.
Well, think of Mazdas, and these are used, so 2017 and 2019 Mazda CX. So I think of Mazdas as like an alternative to a BMW.
Yeah.
So right. It's not exactly like a BMW, but in terms of ride,
right.
look, performance, right. handling, it's similar to a BMW.
And the CX is kind of the SUV body style. It's a body.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Unitized body construction, not body on frame like an SUV you think. So it's a
exactly
crossover
right.
vehicle, yes. Okay, continue.
Yeah. The 2017 to 2019 Mini Cooper Clubman, that's kind of like a mini wagon.
Right.
A lot of those have all-wheel drive. You got to look for the one that says all four, which is their way of saying all-wheel drive. The Nissan Murano, 2015 to 2018. Actually, surprisingly luxurious SUV is the Nissan Murano. The inside's really nice, and you can get one of those with all-wheel drive also. The 2015 to 2019 Subaru Outback, of course, if you live someplace snowy, people just, you know, I mean, you're up in Oregon and those places,
yeah.
it's like, it looks like a Subaru meet every day.
That's I know.
The normal cars are driving. They
That's
didn't
true. Them. Very true.
I mean, I went there one time. I was like, how'd you guys get all these? I went there with Subaru once to show a new car. How did you guys get all these old Subarus to park out here? And they're like, we didn't. We just showed up.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest, driving. Full of them. Well, and you know, but it's the same way in, you know, any of the inclement weather cities.
And,
yeah.
You know, those places
yeah.
up there, yeah.
Yeah.
And the last one, this is a good one because people are always looking for Toyotas. A 2014 to 2016 Toyota Highlander with all-wheel drive should come on just under $20,000. If you have a loaded one with low miles, it might be a little bit above that, but 2014 to 2016 Highlander with all-wheel drive, those are practical. It's a good minivan alternative, and with all-wheel drive should be priced right.
Well, I would say that that's an interesting price range, 20 grand, because, you know, if you go to buy a new car for 20 grand, they're out there, and you can buy vehicles.
Yeah, but it's going to be a big economy car.
You're right, you know? But you can get a really nice couple-of-year-old vehicle, low mileage, and you have some barter room. Maybe somebody, you know, needs more space. They want to get a bigger SUV or whatever. They're ready to get rid of it. That's a really great price range for getting a lot of vehicle for that money. You can find it at autotrader.com. Best used all-wheel drive vehicles under 20 grand. We're going to take a break. Come back and talk about best truck deals for March with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Stay with us. In your place. Can
I just have one more dance with you? Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead. Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television, and radio host, Alan Taylor.
My buddy Brian Moody is on the line with us from autotrader.com. And again, if you're just joining us, you can listen to our podcast, of course, and you can hear all the different subjects that we talk about, usually four or five guests every show. We talked about in the news, tech news. I think it's still very interesting. I'm just going to keep reiterating. Jeep Wagoneer, Grand Wagoneer coming out with Amazon Fire TV for auto through the Uconnect system. And they just keep on putting more good stuff in these automobiles, making our lives better and better. And now all we need, Brian, is a good deal. And the trucks, my goodness,
right.
They're getting expensive.
Well,
so how about
you need one more thing in addition to the deal. You need the Amazon Fire TV, and then you need the sound effect that goes honka honka, and then you need a good deal.
I'm hooking that
then
up for you.
We really have something.
I'm hooking it up for the next time you're on my sound effects machine. All right, truck deals for March 2021.
Yeah, so trucks are getting expensive. It wouldn't be unusual to spend $50,000, $60,000 on a pickup truck. But here are some deals you can look for if you're interested in buying a truck, starting with the 2021 Chevy Colorado. It gets a slight facelift for 2021, and they're offering $2,500 cash back. So that's worth noting.
Yeah.
Similar deal with the 2021 Silverado 1500, except you're going to get $4,250 cash back on the crew cab model. So that's pretty killer.
Wow.
I would look into that. Ford Ranger. $3,000 cash back.
All right, hold on. I got to ask you about this, and it's always been a big question. I think to myself, why is it that I don't understand the cash back? I mean, it's like, wouldn't I just want to go and put the cash to it so I have a smaller payment? But they're offering
you
cash
can do
back.
That.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. There's a couple ways, and there's reasons why people do this. I think small businesses or businesses in general will buy a vehicle, they get a little cash back, put it in their pocket. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could riff on that for a second.
Well, it's cash back, meaning that it's essentially a reduction in the price. However, you can't always apply it to every single model every single time. So, for example, in March, for the month of March, so there's a limit to this, $4,250 cash allowance for the crew cab models of the Silverado. That means you have to get a crew cab to get that. And then with the Ford Ranger, it's $3,000 cash allowance, but you have to get the Lariat model, which is the nicer one.
Right.
So it's almost like, depending on how you look at this, with the Ford Ranger, you could look at it as saying, I can really only afford an XLT, which is like the mid, but with this deal for the month of March, I'm essentially going to be able to upgrade to a Lariat for free.
Yeah.
That's one way you could look at it.
Right on.
Another way you could look at it is just say, hey, I already have my down payment set up. I was already going to pay $2,500 down. And I'm going to take their cash and I'm going to apply it to the down payment. Now I have $5,500 down.
Right.
And so my payment's going to be lower unless you have cash to pay for the car, which today most people don't.
Right.
But you're exactly right. You can just use it to lower the payment.
All right. We got 2 minutes left before the show ends. Give us a few more deals on truck deals.
Let's blow through this. Yeah. GMC Canyon, $3,500 cash back. GMC Sierra 1500, $5,500 cash back, and that's if you get the crew cab model. Honda Ridgeline, that's 0% APR for 24 to 36 months. That can be a big deal. 2021 Nissan Frontier, 0% APR for 36 months, or you might be able to also get $1,500 cash back. And the Ram 1500, 0.9% financing for up to 84 months. So that over a long period of time, if you really want that truck and you can only afford a certain amount of money a month and that interest is low, over 84 months, it's going to be way cheaper than you would if you would have financed it at like 3, 4, or 5% for, you know, say 5 years or something like
that. Right.
That's worth considering. And, you know, the last one we'll leave you with is the Toyota Tundra. 2021 Toyota Tundra, 2.9% financing for 60 months. So notice the higher demand for some of these things are Toyota, Honda, Ram, these kind of things. Maybe the deal isn't as spectacular, but for some of the ones that they really want to move, Ford Ranger, Chevy Silverado, Chevy Colorado, those are some pretty significant. I would get a GMC Sierra and take $5,500 off and put it toward the payment in a heartbeat. I love those trucks.
I'd put it toward a payment for a new boat as well. Why not? Let's just go do it. It's almost summertime. Spring is around the corner.
Take it and put it for a payment for my boat.
There you go.
Now we have some.
By the way, 0% interest means that every cent of your payment goes to paying off that truck. That's beautiful. All right, that story is at autotrader.com. Brian, thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
Yep, and, thank you.
Always good to talk to. All right, that's it for me this weekend. It is now time for me to go to play with my cars. And I have many of them. All right, guys. Be safe out there. God bless you all. See you next week. When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.